exactly do you stand? It's an individual thing. We open our Bible to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 11. Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. I'm sure you can hear me if I do not use this microphone. Okay, super. Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. Are we there, please? Good. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Certain gifts have been given to you to make you know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to other people, they do not have that understanding. And the unfortunate thing is that even in the church today, a lot of believers do not understand the mysteries of the kingdom that they are in. And if you do not understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, you are going to do things that are contrary to what is expected of you in that kingdom. Chapter 13 of the book of Matthew is a very interesting chapter. If you read through the entire chapter, you will discover that it has seven parables. And the seven parables deal with the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And the first parable that is mentioned there, we will read it, the parable of the sower. Now, let's go Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. A little bit long, but we will read it together. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. The first parable that the Lord gave in explaining the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven is the parable of the sower. And let's quickly go to Mark chapter 4, verse 13. Turn with me very quickly. We'll go back to Matthew chapter 13. But first, let's go to Mark chapter 4, verse 13. Are we there? And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? He was telling them again in this account in the parable of the sower. And the disciples went to him and said, Master, what is the meaning of this parable? And then he asked them a question to answer their question. You don't know this parable. If you do not understand the parable of the sower, then how are you going to understand any other parable? Because the parable of the sower is the key that unlocks every parable that Jesus Christ tells us in the Bible. And every parable is driving a point. Are you getting the point? The master key to understand the parables of Jesus If you want to understand the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise virgins and the 5 foolish virgins. If you want to understand the parable of the wheat and the tares, the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the dragnet, the parable of the merchant who was looking for a pearl, if you don't understand the parable of the sower, you can't understand those other parables. Because that is the key. Are you following along with me? So we need to understand what is peculiar about the sower who went out to sow. And the seed of the sower fell into 4 different categories. And then he tells you that the Son of Man is the sower. And the seed is the Word of God. And the farm is the world. Are you getting the point? He's telling you some things. But before we begin to delve into those things, let's look again at what we are handling this morning, the kingdom of heaven. Did I mention the title of this message? I did not. It's true or false convert. True or false convert. Genuine or fake convert. That's what we are looking at. That's what the parable of sower is talking about. That's what the parable of wheat and tares is talking about. That is what the parable of the 10 virgins is talking about. That in the church, there are true converts and there are fake converts. That's why you are having the problem of people saying they are Christians, they still keep on living in sin. Somebody follow along with me.
Yes,
but let's go back to the beginning and look at the kingdom of heaven. You will notice in Matthew chapter 3 verse 2, when John the Baptist was going to start ministry, John started by making a statement. He said, "You repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When Jesus was going to start ministry, in Matthew chapter 4 verse 17, the Lord made the same statement. He said, "You repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is what? Is at hand." Are you following along with me? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But when you get to Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, the Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of what? Of God." Now you see the difference? The kingdom of heaven is at hand, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Is somebody feel along with me? The kingdom of heaven is being introduced, but let your goal be the kingdom of God. Don't be content with the kingdom of heaven. Because where you are going is the kingdom of God. It is only Matthew that made this distinction in the Gospels. Because Matthew is the Gospel of the King. And it traces the kingship of Jesus Christ. So it shows there is a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. So what we want to find out this morning is, what is the kingdom of heaven? Because Matthew chapter 13 is dealing with 7 mysteries of the kingdom of heaven in 7 parables. There are 7 parables. When you get home, read the entire Matthew chapter 13, you will find there are 7 parables there. And they are all dealing with the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says, "It has been given unto you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. But to others, they are not given that ability." So for a child of God, you must understand the mystery of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is what is referred to as the realm of profession of faith. Profession in the sense of you are professing faith. While the kingdom of God is in the realm of possession of the kingdom. Should I say that again? The kingdom of heaven is in the realm of professing faith, while the kingdom of God is in the realm of possessing faith. Everybody in the kingdom of heaven is saying one thing: we are children of God. You are professing it. But those who are in the kingdom of God are telling you, I am a son of God. I am already in there. Now, in the realm of professing faith, you don't know who is genuine. You don't know who is fake. Everybody is just saying, we are born again. Are you following along with me? If we go a step further, the kingdom of heaven is in the realm of many are called. But the kingdom of God is in the realm of but few are chosen. Many are called. That's why when Jesus started, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why? God is setting forth a dispensation. And that dispensation is calling people out of the world and say, come into the kingdom of God. But before you will get to the kingdom of God, God puts everybody down. He begins to observe you. He begins to study you. He begins to test you to see if you are fit to enter the kingdom of God. Now, the realm in which the sorting out is being done is the church. Are you following along with me? The realm in which God is sorting out is like the parable of the dragnet. You will find the dragnet also in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus says, and the kingdom of God is like a net that was thrown into the sea and brought forth all manners of creatures, which after men are dragged to the shore, they started sorting out. And they put the fish in one place, and they put the bad one, they threw it away. Are you following along with me? That is what God is doing with the church. That's why the prostitute is in there. The armed robber is in there. The foreigner is in there. The saint is in there. The liar is. Everybody saying, I am born again. You are not in heaven yet. Because there are many people who are in the church that are going to be thrown back into hell. They have entered the kingdom of heaven, but they cannot make it to the kingdom of God. So they get thrown back. Like the bad fish, back into the ocean. So your own goal is to make sure that you are not one of those that is rejected. Are you following along with me? The church is a testing ground. Many are called. When we go to do crusade, we talk to everybody. When we go for evangelism, we talk to everybody. God calls everybody. All of you come. A kingdom is coming. So everybody comes. All of us were bad. None of us was good. So Jesus washes every one of us. It's all of you coming. Some allow themselves to be washed. Some only wash their feet. Some refuse to wash their head. Some wash their head. They refuse to wash their hands. And they all coming. Then he keeps quiet. He's watching you. And every day, every action that you take, you are showing God whether you qualify to move ahead or you are a factory reject. That's what they call a factory reject. It has been manufactured, but it is not good for the market, so they send it back. Are you following along with me? So if you are a Christian, you are lying. You are not deceiving anybody. You are simply showing God. You are not qualified to move on. If you are a Christian, you are committing adultery. You are not deceiving anybody because God is not mocked. Am I making sense this morning? Okay. In the parable of the sower, there are two categories of converts in the church. There are the true converts, there are the false converts. Are you getting the point? But you know the interesting thing? It is God who planted both. It is the same word of God that produced the true convert that was also given to the fake convert. But it's like that seed that the farmer is planting, and he said some fell by the wayside, representing somebody who hears the gospel, but he's such a flippant person. By the time service is over, when you ask him outside there, what did they preach in church today? He has forgotten. There are people like that. He comes to church, he's awake throughout. Ask him, what was the message? Ah, I said it was wonderful. And what did the man say? Ah, that man can preach. And what was the topic of the message? Next Sunday, brother, you must come and hear. He can't tell you. Between here and downstairs, the bird of the air has taken it. There's another group. Say those ones, they receive the word. But the cares of this world, they must measure up. Bobo must shine. He must wear shoe. And the only way he can get money is that he must do some wuru-wuru that he's not supposed to do. So the cares of this world will kill that seed. He knows what he has received, but he cannot stand the pressure of not measuring up to the standard of the world. So the seed is gone. But lo, he's still sitting inside the church. He's still in the kingdom of heaven. When they take attendance, how many people came to church? They will count him. When they take attendance and say, how many people are going to heaven, he will raise his hand. He's still there. Then there is another group that he says is like he's planted in the midst of thorns. So much persecution around him. Maybe he's the only one in his office who is born again, and the business they do in that company involves a little bit of wuru-wuru, and they have warned him. Look, this is business. Church is different. If you can't do the work we do here the way we do, we fire you. So because they are going to fire him, he will align and compromise. That's what is still inside the kingdom. Are you following along with me? Then there is the other group that Jesus Christ says, that one is sown on a good soil. And you know the interesting thing? Where is the soil? You have a farmer. The farmer has a seed. He is sowing it into a soil. Where is the soil? The soil is the heart. You understand? Because it is from the heart that everything starts from. Fornication, adultery, murder, lying, hatred. It starts from your heart. So you need to check the state of your heart this morning, even though you say you are a Christian. What's the state of your heart? So, the interesting thing I want you to note, and this is very frightening, if we bring this parable down to mathematics, simple arithmetic, then we will discover that the seed fell into four categories. Yeah? Then we can easily, by assumption, say those that the bird of the air took away, 25%. Those that were choked by the cares of this world, 25%, making 50%. Those that succumbed to pressures, 25%, making 75%. So 75% of the seed sown by Jesus Christ perished. That is frightening. 25% are the one that is good. If you bring that to the church, you might be tempted to say 75% of those in the church are false converts. Now, this is not a gospel that was preached by man, no. The farmer is Jesus himself. So he told them the truth. He did not preach the modern gospel. He did not preach the social gospel. He did not preach the gospel of felt needs. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. Because when you go through the Bible, you will see again and again, Jesus went through the villages preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He only preached the gospel of the kingdom. So he preached the gospel of the kingdom, and 75% of the people he preached to that accepted the gospel, they perished, according to this analogy. You see, it is when you understand the parable of the sower that you now understand the parable of the wheat and the tares. Because when he planted the wheat, the enemy came and planted tares, and the angel said, let us remove the tares. He says, no. Leave the two of them together. So the wheat and the tare are inside the church. The true convert and the fake convert are sitting down inside the church together. And the similarity between them is so great that no pastor can know who is the tar, no pastor can know who is the wheat. Such that at the end of the age, it is only angels that God can trust to come and separate them. No man. Because even the pastor himself does not know. If it doesn't take time, he might even be the tar. And you may have a congregation of 500 and there are only two wheats there. Because you know the wheat. Have you ever done basic agriculture here? Basic farming? You know you don't plant wheat. You don't have to bother about planting wheat. It will spring of itself. And if you don't quickly remove the wheat will choke your plant. They will grow much more. That's how it is in the church. That's the mystery of the kingdom. And yet God says, leave the two of them. Let them continue. So if you are not careful, you can be someone who is positioned for the kingdom of God, and you are almost there, and you are looking at what Sister A is doing, and she's getting away with it. And Brother B is doing it, he's getting away with it. So you to your lower standard. Which is the problem we are having in the church now. A lot of Christians are lowering the standard to accommodate other believers who, in the first instance, have no intention of going to heaven. Are you following along with me? So, you need to ask yourself, are you a true convert or you are a false convert? Are you genuinely born again? That is the question. Are you a child of God? Are you part of the 25% that the enemy takes away the seed? Or are you part of the 25% that the cares of this world has taken away salvation from you? Is everything that consumes your mind is how you are going to get money, how you are going to shine, what you are going to wear, how you two will be important. Is that what is important to you? If that is what is important, you are part of the factory reject. Are you the part of the fearful ones that because your friends will ostracize you, your friends will say you don't belong, therefore whatever they want to do, you two will go along with them? Or are you part of that last category that will do everything possible and follow the Lord faithfully? Are you a true convert? Let me see. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. How does God know his own? What is the yardstick of Jesus? 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. The Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity. That's his standard. The Lord knows those who belong to him. We don't know. You understand? Because after church service, you will go home. Nobody here will go home with you. Right? Probably we may not even see each other until next week Sunday. That's if you come to church. Yeah? Even if we live together, I don't know what is going on in your heart. And I cannot be with you 24 hours of the day. But somebody is with you 24 hours of the day. 24/7. Watching you. Why? Because God is creating a family. You understand? He wants to continue with his eternal program. And that program was interrupted by sin through Lucifer. So he wants to deal with Lucifer. He wants to deal with sin. But before he does that, he say, these people that I created for my glory, I don't want them to suffer. Because the punishment that is waiting for Lucifer is a terrible punishment. And whoever joins him will suffer with him. Okay, let me pay for their sin. Because I'm the one who created them. Let me accept responsibility for what they have done. That's what God did. So he became flesh. He that knew no sin was made sin. Somebody that can never die agreed to die. The creator of the entire universe, his own creation was slapping him, spitting on him, and he folded his hands and he was looking at them. He didn't need to speak. He didn't need to lift a finger. All he needed to do is just to wink, and all of them were gone. And he allowed them. Why? Because he said he wants to give you, wants to give you, wants to give you, wants to give me, wants to give us a chance. But he has a standard, a high moral standard, that in my family, they don't tell lies. In my household, there is no envy there. No thief will live in my house. So, let me save all of you and tell you what my standards are. So, he gave you the Ten Commandments. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. He now gave you salvation free of charge. And after giving you salvation free of charge, he refused to kill you. He refused to allow Satan to kill you. He now left you alive, watching you. Are you following along with me? Do you understand why you are alive now?
Yes, sir.
You could have gone to heaven the moment you said, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And you will have gone. Then God will not have known whether you are a thief. You say God knows everything. There are some things that God has chosen not to interfere with, and that is the will of man. The willpower of man. God does not tamper with your willpower. That's why when he gives you an instruction, he leaves it at your own discretion, whether you will obey or you will disobey. He doesn't tamper with the will of man. It's unlike the devil. The devil tampers with your willpower. If the devil captures you, he forces you to do what you don't want to do. If God takes you, he leaves you to do what you want to do. So, many people are in the church. They say there is grace. They say there is mercy. They say there is forgiveness. They say there is justification. They turn it into licentiousness. So I can do whatever I want to. They say it doesn't matter. They say, bro, you can't do that. They say it doesn't matter. But you can't dress like this. They say it doesn't matter. There is grace. Because look, God is not like that. Hey. He has a standard. So you need to check your life. Are you breaking the standard of God? Because you don't know the time that is going to come and say, time up, I have tested you enough. Some people, you only test them 2 years and then they die. Christians, haven't you seen Christians who die? Some will test them 10 years and then they die. Some will leave them in the kingdom of heaven for 20 years and then they die. He's the one who determines. But since you do not know the time is coming for you, and you have made up your mind, you are going to progress from the kingdom of heaven into the kingdom of God, then you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because you don't know the day that you are going. It will be very sad. It will be very, very sad. Like the Bible says, in Hebrews chapter 6, that somebody who has come to know the Lord and has tasted of the power of the kingdom to come, if they shall fall away. I pray you will not fall away in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 38. We will just look at this and then stop. We will continue next week Sunday, because there are some things that we are still getting to that we must not rush. Acts chapter 2. We want to look at a true convert, and then we want to look at false converts. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, the people that Peter was preaching to, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of what? Of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The standard, the foundation for Christianity, first mentioned by John, repent. Emphasized by Jesus, repent, is the same thing the disciples are following until this generation. I know you've gone to many different churches before you came here, but in all those churches, when was the last time you had a message on repentance? I know you don't. I know those who come here will have had it, they will have been tired of it. You don't hear it anymore. It's part of the problem that we have. We can't talk about it today. What does it mean to repent? What does it mean? When God says he's calling you to repentance, what does it mean to repent? Simple English, confess your sin, forsake your sin. A lot of people in the church confess their sin, but they refuse to forsake the sin. They have not repented. Please don't be one of them. You acknowledge Almighty God, this thing I'm doing is a sin, and then you keep on doing it all the same. You have not repented. You are not going to the kingdom of God. It is not a curse. Hell is waiting for you. It is not a curse. Don't go there. Another definition of repent, the word repent is a combination of two Latin words, re and pent. make some repent. Re means again. Pent is a Latin word that means think. Re again. Pent, think. Which is telling you, think again. The Yoruba Bible gets the translation almost accurate. They interpret repentance to mean ironu piwada. You think again and you change the way you behave. You understand? God wants you to think about the things you are doing and deliberately make about turn. You used to lie, you turn your back to lies. You begin to think in a totally different way. Because every action that you undertake is determined by your thought. Determined by your thought. If somebody walks in here and slaps my face, it did not occur to him when he reached here. He has been thinking about it. He has been thinking about it. Man is not a creature of instinct. Man is a rational instinct. A lion, a dog, a goat, they are animals, creatures of instinct. Man does not act on instinct. Man will think first. If somebody gives you 50 naira, he has been thinking about it. He didn't just do it right there. That's how we are. We think and then we act. That's why Satan pays so much attention to what we think. And he wants to be able to, he tries to determine our thought life. But we can't talk about that now. We are looking at your repentance. Since you got born again, have you sat down to analyze your actions and your behaviors as an unbeliever and compare it with what you are doing now as supposedly child of God? Are you still doing the same thing? Because if you are doing the same thing you are doing as an unbeliever and you say you are born again, stop deceiving yourself. You might as well just go back to the world. Enjoy yourself there. So that when they throw you eventually into hell, even Satan himself is so bored, you try. Now that you are there, you are asking yourself, what am I doing here? I go to church. Yes, you can go to church. 75% from the parable of the sower of those who go to church. We're not talking about unbelievers. We're talking about sons of the kingdom. I pray you will not be a false convert in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and then we will end there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 11. And then you will see an example of false converts inside the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Are we there, please?
Yes.
But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be what? A fornicator, but is called a brother, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to what? Not to eat. There are people calling themselves brothers, and they are doing all these things. And the Bible is identify them. And don't keep company with them. But you see, the church does not do that anymore. Rather, we are preaching the gospel of love. We think we have more love than God. And that's one of the problems that we have. You try and enforce discipline in the church, and you will hear what people will start telling you. I've been a pastor for some years now, and I've had occasion to place people under discipline in the church. Immediately, the church splitted into two camps. Those who say, no, no, God said we should love one another. So I showed them this. go to verse 30. I read this to them. Verse 12 says, for what have I to do to judge them that are without, those who are outside the church? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are outside God judge. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. One translation says, expel that wicked person from amongst you. When you have a church, you see a member of the church who is conducting himself in a way that Christians should not, God says, send him out. Why? Because if you don't send him out, it is quite easy for people to emulate what is bad than to emulate what is right. Because they send him out. Do they send them out? Not even when they are the ones bringing all the big money to the church. No, they won't send them out anymore. They put them on the front row. You have to hear some of the stories, things that are happening in the church. This is not condemning Christians. This is not condemning other assemblies. This is warning you and opening your eyes to the mysteries of the kingdom. Telling you that you have not arrived. You understand? You have not arrived. You are still in the kingdom of God. Your goal, what Jesus says, is seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't be content with the kingdom of heaven. Because there are many in the kingdom of heaven that are still going back to hell. Because they are false converts. Next Sunday, by the grace of God, we'll be looking at how to avoid being a false convert. How to avoid it. And when are false converts created? Do false converts start after they enter the church, or they are created outside of the church? We need to have a look at it. And when we finish, you will now be able to do a personal appraisal. And I do hope that you will be honest with yourself, because what is at stake is your soul, not my soul. Are you following along with us? Your soul is what is at stake. We need to graduate in our Christianity and understand that Christianity is not about who becomes the next millionaire. That's not why Christ went to the cross. We have been now too much concerned about what we are going to eat, what we are going to drink, how we are going to measure up in the society, that we have lowered the standard of God. And Christianity is not making any impact anymore, anywhere. Rather, it has become a mockery, it has become a ridicule. I told you, remember, even the comedians in Nigeria, they make their money by mocking the gospel. That's why they make some of their best jokes are jokes on the church. And Christians are mostly the people paying to go and listen to them. I don't know whether you have heard it. I keep saying it. I have never heard any comedian, no matter how much cocaine he has sniffed or Igbo that he smoked, that we use the name of Muhammad to crack a joke. Or use the name of Allah to crack a joke. Or crack a joke about what they are doing inside the mosque. I've never had one. None. But Christianity, there is a Holy Ghost, and the people will say, fire! And then we all laugh. Ah, ka, 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 ka. Christianity has become a joke. Why? Because the church is full of false converts. People who think they are Christians, but they are not Christians. And that's where we are going. We want to find out what caused it and how can you save yourself. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And let's talk to